Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System. Christus Spahn Health System is making a multi-million dollar investment in the health of Coastal Bend families with a new shoreline tower featuring state-of-the-art life-saving medical technology for a growing community. More information is available at ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning to all of you this morning, and a very special welcome to the deacons of our diocese. Today we are celebrating the anniversary of the restoration of the diaconate in the Catholic Church, which was done in 1968 by now St. Paul VI. And so we wanted to gather our deacons for a Mass with their families, their wives, and children to thank them for their ministry and for being so dedicated to the ministry of the Church. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you are mighty God and Prince of Peace. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are Son of God and Son of Mary. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are Word made flesh and splendor of the Father. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Grant us, we pray, O Lord our God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you. For it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. In those days, I, Daniel, heard this word of the Lord. At that time there shall arise Michael, the great prince, guardian of your people. It shall be a time unsurpassed in distress. Since nations began until that time, at that time your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever. Others shall be in everlasting horror and disgrace. But the wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament. And those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. The word of the Lord.
Fast my lot, I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices, my body too abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Will show me the path of life, fullness of joy in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. You are my inheritance, O Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this one offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. Now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer offering for sin. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
I always get a little intimidated by the reading of the prophet Daniel. "At that time there shall arise Michael, the great prince and guardian of your people." My name is Michael. Okay. In case you didn't get the connection. But I'm not the great prince, but I would hope I can be a guardian of God's truths that have been given to us. Life is a day-to-day preparation to meet Jesus Christ. We hear the words, "Naked I came forth from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return." I come into this world with nothing, and I return with nothing. That is the perspective, sisters and brothers, that we must keep in mind constantly. It is the theme of our life, or otherwise we misunderstand the meaning of life. Life is not just about living day to day to get what I can, to meet who I want to meet and ignore who I want to ignore. Life is a day-to-day preparation to meet Jesus Christ. In order to return to him with hands full of what he wants of us to make this world part of the kingdom of God. As missionary disciples, all of us, we are to fulfill our baptismal promises by living out the gospel day to day, reconciling the world to Almighty God. So many people today get all caught up in the imagery that we find in the two readings of Daniel and the Gospel of Mark. When Jesus says, in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. It's as if all of life is waiting for that to happen. And as soon as we see an earthquake, the second coming is happening. It's over. But Jesus was using common language of the day, because there were volcanoes. Vesuvius erupted in those days and covered Pompeii. There were wars, people invading. There were all sorts of things happening. But Jesus was not asking us to get caught up in these kind of signs, these phenomena that happen, but to always move toward the goal, that life was about moving toward the completion, which is life eternal in heaven. That's our perspective, to live with God forever, to live always in God's presence. He was not predicting the future, even himself. He said, I don't know when all this will happen. I don't know when the end will come. That's not been given to me. That is something that is in the heart of the Father. But we hear Jesus over and over in the gospel saying, be prepared. Every day, be prepared. If there's an intensity of life for you and me as Christians, it is to be prepared. Every day to prepare ourselves through the events of the day, whether they are crosses or whether they are moments of joy, to absorb all of those things into ourselves. But for me, in order to understand all of this, the key phrase today in the readings, the reading of the Gospel of St. Mark, is this: heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass. My words will not pass. Too often we ignore those kind of difficult things to understand. Well, it's not that difficult to understand. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of truth, the words that Jesus has spoken to us from his Father for us and for us collectively, will not pass away. And that is what life is about, absorbing those words, making them real in my life, not taking them as a good ethical suggestion that I forgive my enemy, that I turn the other cheek, not just taking them as ethical mandates, but words that give me freedom, that bring us to who we are meant to be. My words will not pass away. They will give you what you need. They will give you freedom. They will assist you on the way to eternal life so that you can make sense of everything. And we are living in difficult, horrible times, we might say, both in our society and in our church. But let us not judge what is going on without the words of the Lord Jesus in our life. What is happening? Much of what's happening, in my understanding and my belief, beyond the tragedy and the horrors of abuse, is that the words of Jesus have been ignored. So many, even people who have preached the word, have hardened their hearts to its meaning, have hardened themselves to the simplicity of the truth that Jesus teaches us. even whatever you do to the least, you have done to me. That is a truth. That is what liberates us, when we can see the dignity of each person as a presence of God. As a presence of God. And when we ignore and do not absorb that into ourselves as God's gift to us, as hard as some of those things may be to put into practice, when they are ignored, we are destined to fall. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass, because they are words of life. They are not material words, they're words to give us life. I want to again congratulate our deacons on this 50th anniversary of the restoration of the diaconate, and to remind you, brothers, and to all of us, that your diaconal service is based in two things: the Word of God and service. Service in charity. In other words, the Word put into practice through service, especially to the poor and the needy. As we have developed through these 50 years, we have often joked among ourselves, even with deacons, that you're not here to be statues at the altar. You're here to be men of service, as all of us are. And so your presence here today is a reminder to all of us that the Word of God must dwell richly in our lives, and that our life must be of service. I'd like to conclude with the final image that Jesus brings us in the gospel today: the fig tree. You look at the fig tree, and as it begins to sprout, you see that the springtime is here and the coming of God is near. Why I want to point that out is that various signs happen in all of our lives, natural signs, which, if the Word of God is in us, if we have absorbed and understood, at least to the degree that we can through God's grace, what the Word is about, we will see signs daily that speak to us, that say something to us about the kingdom of God. Well, I had that opportunity last Thursday. I was returning home from a meeting of bishops from ecumenical churches throughout different parts of the world. There were 17 different denominations from 18 countries, listening to one another, talking, sharing meals together. Then I went to Washington, D.C., or to Baltimore, to the bishops' meeting, and began the discussion and talk about the horrors of abuse that we have seen and experienced in our church. So it's quite a tiring meeting, that one was. And then I was in the airport in Washington, D.C., after passing the Capitol and the Lincoln Memorial and all the great monuments there, and get into the airport gate where I was taking off, and a lot of professional people, and I looked around. I thought, there's probably a lot of people with great titles here. Who knows if there's not a senator here and a representative and all these kinds of things, people on their computers and iPhones and iPads, and kind of a sophisticated little scene, if it were not for one beautiful little family with two beautiful little children, a one-year-old and a three-year-old. Now, you that are parents know what that means. The one-year-old was alternating between crying, screaming, and laughing. The poor mother was doing a great job holding her, sitting her down, letting her go, pulling her back, and all those things. But the three-year-old had legs that moved, and he was up and down the aisles and jumping around, and the dad was right after him, and you could see the professionals kind of, you know, looking around and not sure what they were saying to themselves. But at a certain point, the gate called for parents with children under three. You may board now. So they got together and started packing up their things. And as they were walking toward the gate through a sea of people, you know how everybody kind of grabs around to be the first, the little boy who had been running around turned around to everyone and said, "Goodbye, everybody." And that's my point. That area reacted just as you did. Just like you did. People who were not talking to one another, who were not aware of what's going on, all of a sudden turned to one another and said, "Wasn't that cute?" And were laughing. What does that say about the kingdom of God? As I thought about that so strongly on the way home, what did Jesus say? "Let the little children come to me." And he also said, "Unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." It doesn't matter what titles you have. It doesn't matter what position you hold in the church. It doesn't matter what elected office you've come to. It doesn't matter. If we are going to prepare ourselves to meet the King of Kings and live forever in God, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that must clarify who we are. And so I leave you with that for this week as we prepare to celebrate Christ the King next week. Unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I would ask our deacons to please stand. Today they will renew the promises that they made on the day of their ordination as deacons of the church. My brother deacons, today we celebrate the 50th year of the reinstitution of the diaconate as a permanent order in the United States. I now ask you to recommit yourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his church. Are you resolved to discharge the office of deacon with humility and love, to hold the mystery of faith with a clear conscience, and to proclaim this faith in word and action as it is taught by the gospel and the church's tradition? And are you resolved to maintain and deepen a spirit of prayer appropriate to your way of life, and to continually shape your life according to the example of Jesus, our Savior?
Amen.
And now, my brothers and sisters who are gathered with us today, pray for these deacons. Ask the Lord to bless them with the fullness of his love, to help them be faithful ministers of Christ, the fountain of salvation. Lord Jesus, hear us and answer our prayers. May the Lord in his love keep you close to him always, and may he bring all of us to eternal life.
Amen.
Thank you, my brother deacons, for your service in the church. And now, dear sisters and brothers, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Dear friends, rejoicing in the gift of a loving Savior, we offer now our prayers to the Father.
For our Holy Father, Pope Francis, our Bishop Michael, and all who lead the Church, may God grant them the grace to prepare themselves and their people for the day of judgment. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For elected officials, may God give them prudence so they may rightly judge the things of this world as they influence the communities they lead. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are sick, that the Lord may pour out his mercy on their hearts and give them hope. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are searching for the truth, may they have open minds and hearts so they may come to know and experience Jesus, who saves and sets them free. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our diocese, as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the reinstitution of the permanent deacons in the United States, may the Holy Spirit help us to come to a greater friendship with Christ so we may live more faithfully as his disciples. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have died, in a special way for Marcelino Gonzalez, Jesusita Canales, Delia Farias, Ruben Moreno, Joe Cuerva, Minnie Gonzalez, Pete Gonzalez Jr., Elroy Perez, and for the deceased members of the Mew family, and for all our permanent deacons who have passed away. May God the Father have mercy on them and welcome them into the eternal home he has prepared for them. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those intentions that we now offer from the silence of our hearts. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. God, our Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, who is the perfect sacrifice, who is the word of life. Hear these in all of our prayers and help us more fully to prepare for the day when Jesus comes again. Through Christ our Lord. sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Grant, O Lord, we pray that what we offer in the sight of your majesty may obtain for us the grace of being devoted to you and gain us the prize of everlasting happiness. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For we know it belongs to your boundless glory that you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity, and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation through Christ our Lord. Through him, the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Let us pray now together as our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by Christus Spahn Health System, making a multi-million dollar investment in a new state-of-the-art shoreline tower. For more information on the region's most advanced medical center with skilled physicians and highly specialized services like trauma, heart, surgery, and urology all under one roof, log on to ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their continuing support of the Cathedral Sunday Mass. If you have been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.